How do you do? If you happen to see someone drinking from a roadside ditch or eating from a trash can, you may be seeing someone like the woman in this story who was not a drug addict or alcoholic. She was someone on the run until her heart and mind and life were unshackled.
How come you didn't tell me you were pregnant again?
I didn't know myself till the doctor told me I was about to deliver. I wondered what was wrong with me.
The last thing we need is another mouth to feed.
Oh, you're telling me. 5 is more than I can handle. Now we have this one. 3 months premature.
She won't live. Run to the litter. Don't even weigh 3 pounds. Doctor told me to go home and make funeral arrangements. By the time I get back here, she'll be dead.
This is Unshackled, the longest-running radio drama in history. True life stories produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Thanks to those who send financial gifts, the mission provides shelter to more than 800 men, women, and children, offering food, fresh clothing, and a safe bunk for the night. Even medical and dental treatment, all without charge to those without means. Classes and counseling help these unfortunate ones find their way back to society as productive citizens, and pastors help them find the way that leads to peace with God. Now, for broadcast around the earth, here is program number 3125 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Well, there she is, coming home with us after all.
3 months in the hospital? I hate to think what that bill's gonna be.
She only weighs 5 pounds. How am I gonna take care of something like this?
Doc says there's something wrong with her.
Cerebral palsy.
I don't even know what that is.
Nurse said it's a nerve disorder.
Just what we need. More medical bills.
What I need is a drink. Come on, let's get out of here.
That unwanted baby was the woman in our story, as she tells her account to her friend John. Parental guidance is suggested due to the subject matter contained in the true testimony of Beverly Krull, right now on Unshackled.
It's a miracle you lived, Beverly. And then they have parents who didn't want you.
Well, they drank all the time, and it was a long time before I realized what was happening to them. They talked funny and often slept on the floor. John, I never knew what would happen next.
How did the cerebral palsy affect you?
Well, I had a slight limp and had to keep my head down to see where I was walking. And sometimes I lost my balance and fell. Also, I'm deaf in one ear and have only partial hearing in the other.
You had a hard time of it as a child. Did your older siblings help raise you?
No. Two of my sisters married young to get away from home. My oldest sister had brain damage at birth and spent most of the time in the Georgia State Mental Hospital.
What a life.
Oh, you're gonna be my husband, so I want you to know everything, John. Sometimes my parents would lock me in the attic with rats and spiders because I was afraid of a television show. I was also afraid of thunderstorms, so they put me outside and locked the door. Then they laughed at me.
That's so cruel.
That's nothing. Once my parents made me drink beer, dip snuff, and smoke a cigarette. And when it made me sick, Dad beat me real bad.
How could he do that?
I was only 5 at the time, too. Well, it was alcohol. It took control of them. They spent their money on liquor instead of food, and I was always hungry. One day when I was 6, I went home with a friend after school, and her mother fed me a sandwich with milk and cookies, and I forgot about the time, and I ran home late.
Where have you been? Your daddy's gonna kill you when he gets home. Get to your room. Oh, I wish you'd never been born. You're nothing but trouble.
Did he beat you?
The worst beating I ever had. He beat me with an extension cord like a horsewhip until blood ran down my body. And he kept yelling, "Pruitts, don't take charity." Oh,
guaranteed to break a child's spirit.
I wished I could die. I wondered why I didn't die when I was born.
You didn't tell anyone about the beatings?
Oh, no, he threatened to kill me if I did. They kept me home from school until I healed from that beating.
I can't imagine how you endured such a life.
I daydreamed of having a family who loved me. food to eat and sleeping through the night with a full stomach instead of hunger pains.
Did anyone show you love?
Yes, my oldest sister Barbara loved me. But she was in a mental hospital most of the time. Whenever she was home, she tried to protect me.
Well, at least there was someone who cared.
My grandma is a godly woman. She loved me, too. She's the one who named me.
I don't rightly know why your mom and daddy couldn't come up with a name for you until you were 3 months old. Didn't think you'd live, reckon. Oh, but God knew better.
They never wanted me, Grandma.
Oh, it's all that drinking. Two of their babies had died, and Barbara born with mental problems. They just didn't know what to do about life's problems. The Bible says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. They needed to turn to the Lord, but instead they turned to alcohol.
They never loved me, not once in my whole life.
Well, don't let that bother you. I love you, honey, but Jesus loves you more. He gave his life so that you can have a new life one day, Beverly.
If Jesus loved me, why do my parents hate me and wish I'd never been born? Why doesn't he stop them from hurting me?
People make choices in life. Your parents chose to be the way they are. I'm sorry that they hurt you, but it's not your fault. It's their sinful lifestyle.
Grandma, sometimes I wish I was dead.
Oh, Beverly, believe me, if you give your heart to Jesus and tell him you're sorry for your sins, your life will never be the same. God can give you a new life. He would be your father and love you like no father on earth ever could.
Nobody can love me. Mom and Daddy said so.
Oh, you're wrong, Beverly. God does love you. And someday, if you cry out to him, he will speak to you and you'll know that it's God. It's a voice that you hear inside you, and he comes to guide you to safety. Now, you go to sleep. Oh, God, please help this little lost lamb. Beverly needs you. Amen.
Your grandma knows the Lord, then?
Yes. She always knelt down by our bed every night and prayed for each one of us.
Do you ever get to see her?
No. My dad put a stop to that. John, there's other things I've never told anyone else.
Look, I'm going to marry you, Beverly. You can trust me.
I was also abused by my brothers. They said Daddy would kill me if I told anyone.
Oh, how could they do that?
I had no one to help me, John. I was sickly as a child, and my parents wanted to be rid of me, so I just had to endure life.
Well, how did you cope?
I daydreamed all the time, but I couldn't concentrate at school. I just sat there, confused and afraid. I was glad when my oldest brother went to Vietnam. The fighting at home was so bad, I started walking the streets, because I thought it was safer than being around my drunken parents. One night, two big men grabbed me, threw me in their car, and beat me until I was unconscious. They left me for dead.
My goodness.
I woke up and found that I was near a friend's house, so I went there. Her parents took me home.
Did you report it?
Oh, no, I was too scared. I made my friend swear not to tell anyone for fear those men would come after me. But someone told her mother, and child welfare investigated. My father told them I was wild and uncontrollable, and they put me in foster care. I moved from one house to another. Things were bad there, too. So I ran away and joined the Job Corps.
How old were you then?
16. It was in a bad part of Atlanta where anything goes. I shared a room on the fifth floor with other girls. One night, it was hot, and I sat in the window with my legs dangling, and a girl who didn't like me told the security guards that I was planning to jump, and they hauled me off to the psychiatric ward of the hospital. It was Sunday, and there were no teachers to contradict our lies.
The Job Corps probably didn't want that kind of publicity.
No. By the time they learned what really happened, it was too late. They contacted my father, and the police took me to jail. Then came the hearing. A long table, doctors, psychologists, welfare staff, and my parents.
That girl has put us through nothing but misery. We've done everything for her, and she don't appreciate it one bit. She runs off without telling us where she's going, won't let anybody help her. gets into trouble, wants her own way all the time. Well, we're afraid she'll end up killing us all. I think you ought to send her to the state mental hospital.
His eyes spoke hatred as he leaned down and said, "I love you, Beverly." I didn't say one word of my defense because I knew they wouldn't believe me. The next day, a deputy drove me more than 2 hours to the state hospital where my sister Barbara was kept. I lost all track of time, and they finally put us on the same floor.
How long you been here, Beverly?
I don't know. Seems like forever.
It's the drugs. When you get used to them, you'll remember more.
It's like I'm in a fog, Barbara.
Watch what you say and do, or they'll do to you what they're doing to me.
What's that?
Shock treatments. They think my mental illness is related to something bad in my life, and the shock is supposed to help me remember more. It's horrible.
Then I'm not gonna tell them anything.
When I was 19, our mother died of cirrhosis of the liver, and the hospital released us to attend a funeral. Barbara stayed at home, and then I was released to our home also. My father drank himself into oblivion from grief. One night when he passed out, I poured his vodka down the drain because I didn't want it to kill him, too. Dad woke up, got his gun, and tried to shoot me. A lady from the social services had her pastor to take me into their home. Then I moved to the home of one of the deacons. They were very loving and taught me many things about the Bible. Months later, I was flown to a girl's home in Kansas, but I didn't like the restrictions. I ran away and started hitchhiking back to Georgia.
Dangerous for a young woman.
But I had become a fighter, John. I caught a ride with an older couple who dropped me at a truck stop in Illinois, where I caught another ride to Indiana. I was hitchhiking barefoot and had infected blisters on my feet. I hadn't eaten in 3 days except what I could scrounge from trash cans. A young man bought me dinner and then invited me to a friend's house nearby.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Lots of young people were there. They slipped me some kind of drug, and I woke up with strange people. They took me to a burlesque house, but I hated it. I walked the streets instead. One day I came back, still barefoot, and overheard them talking about killing me.
Why?
Oh, because I knew too much, John. I was petrified and got out of there as fast as I could.
You had no money and no shoes. What did you do?
Well, I decided to kill myself rather than let them do it. I planned to jump in front of a semi-truck. I went into a phone booth so the police wouldn't be suspicious as I made my plans. Little did I know that my life would change in that phone booth.
We'll hear about Beverly's life-changing event very shortly. Gifts and lights and Christmas carols are pale imitations of the real meaning of God's gift to mankind. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We like to give gifts to the homeless at Christmas, a bountiful dinner and a wrapped present, something meant just for each one. Would you help us do that by sending something new this year? More than 800 men, women, and children need everything from socks to caps and gloves and everything in between. Any size, any color, toiletries, a scarf, mittens, sweaters, underwear. Anything new is deeply appreciated. Children love new clothes, too, or a book, game, or toy. No need to wrap what you send. We'll do that, matching the item to the right person. If you don't have time to shop, send a donation and mark your gift for Christmas. Donate online at unshackled.org. Send your presents to Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Thank you for remembering the homeless this Christmas.
Somehow, as I waited, God spoke to my heart. The words of my grandmother, the pastor, and the deacon's family members filled my mind, telling me not to end my life, telling me that God loved me. Grandma said I would know God's voice when I heard it, and she was right. As I looked down at my feet, I noticed a dime between my toes and used it to call a local church in the phone directory. The pastor sent a couple to help me, and they took me to the rescue mission in Newcastle. That's when I met Shirley, who worked with the women there. I wasn't completely honest with her for a while.
Beverly, you say you're from Georgia, but your parents are dead, so you can't go home.
No, ma'am. There's no home to go back to.
I can see that you've had a rough time.
You have no idea.
Do you drink or use drugs?
No, ma'am. I've tried both just to fit in. I smoke cigarettes, though.
Let me look in your eyes.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I don't know why, but I'm going to take a chance on you and let you live with me.
Thank you.
I have a rule that anyone who lives in my home has to go to church on Sunday.
God used Shirley to save my life by taking me in. She was the mother I never had, radiating honesty, truth, and love of Jesus. And soon I was calling her mama. She took me to the doctor because the blisters on my feet were infected and I had severe abdominal pain. The doctor put me in the hospital, and after a test, I awoke to Shirley singing the song, "He Touched Me." When I came home, she sat me down for a serious talk.
Beverly, you are a very sick woman. You have syphilis.
I've heard of that.
Medicine can cure you, but the doctor says you may not be able to have children.
A doctor in Georgia said the same thing.
We also need the names of the men you've been with so that the authorities can stop the disease from spreading.
All I know is their first names, and not even all of those.
I've learned that each person is either a good or a bad influence on others. Shirley was a good influence on everyone. Although I didn't know what morals were, I watched her and saw high moral standards in action. She demonstrated patience, joy, and a personal commitment to her faith in God, which was always evident in her life. I began to hunger for what Shirley had in her life, what she taught us as we gathered for Bible study.
Our last lesson was from Romans chapter 3, where it says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." Then in verse 23, the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Today, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 64. Beverly, would you read verse 6?
"We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away."
God knows that there is nothing inherently good in us. Your very best is not good enough to get you into heaven, because God is holy. God is perfect, and He won't even let a smidgen of sin into heaven. Therefore, you must be made perfect like Him. But how? In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, the Bible says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" God knows your heart. He's the only one who can change it. That's why Jesus died for us, to give us new life. If you die without Christ, you will receive God's judgment for your sin, which is death and hell, eternal damnation. You need a new heart, and only Jesus can give you that when you're born again. God promises through Ezekiel, chapter 36, verse 26, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh." God sent His only Son to die on the cross for your sins. Repent of your sins and ask Him to save you.
I spent many restless nights pondering all I heard, wondering if I could really change. Could I be born again? One night, near dawn, I knocked on Shirley's door saying I needed to talk. She explained the plan of salvation to me again, trying to ease my doubts.
Of course God loves you, Beverly.
Oh, I can't stop thinking about all the bad things that happened to me, the bad things that I've done. How could He love me? I'm the worst of all sinners.
For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. The greatest transfer in history takes place at the cross. Jesus took on the sins of all men, and His death purchased our pardon. When we come to God in repentance and ask Him to save us, God's pardon is already waiting for you. You trade your sins for His righteousness and the holiness of Christ. He died for you.
How can He save me, Mama?
In Hebrews chapter 7, the Bible says, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." Trust him, Beverly. That's all you can do. Believe in God and trust him.
That morning, sitting on the floor of Shirley's bedroom, I came to God in repentance for my sins, and I asked him to save me, and as promised, he gave me a new heart. I felt so unusual. I felt peace. I felt loved. I felt forgiven. Nothing compares with the cleansing fountain of the blood of Jesus Christ. What a Savior! And after a time of spiritual growth, Shirley encouraged me to take the position as an assistant to a Sunday school teacher.
That's a wonderful story, Beverly. My sister in the Lord.
Yes, and through Shirley I met you. It was so wonderful to meet you, John.
I feel the same way, Beverly.
Well, as I grew in the Lord, Shirley realized that I was dealing with deep problems, so she took me to a psychologist.
You told me about that.
I opened up a little, and emotions came to the surface that I didn't know I had. I began having nightmares. Then during a sleepover for the kids at the gym, I wanted to go out and have a cigarette. Shirley confronted me about it, and I argued with her. She raised her hand to calm me, and I had a flashback to my father, ready to beat me. I began physically fighting with her, and then I ran out and went home.
Did she understand?
Oh, how could she? I had never told her about the abuse. The next day, we met in the hallway, and again I argued with her. She raised her hand to calm me down, and another flashback hit me. This time I ended up in the psychiatric ward at the hospital.
I know how hard it was being there.
Yes, but this time I had Jesus with me. He showed me how deeply Shirley loves me. She just didn't understand what triggered my actions.
Thank you for telling me all this, Beverly.
I don't know if you still want to marry me, John, but I can't have any secrets. I want you to know that you're getting damaged goods.
Look, I still want to marry you, Beverly. I love you, and I think you're a special jewel. You're the most beautiful woman in the world to me.
It takes a special man to love a frail, sick woman with my kind of baggage, and John became my knight in shining armor that night, but my joy was short-lived.
Beverly, you shouldn't get married yet. It's obvious that you have some major emotional problems. I've talked to the psychologist, and we're going to sign the papers to commit you to the state hospital.
But how can you do that to me? I trusted you.
You need more help than I can give you.
Shirley invited John to the house where she told him I was going to the state hospital. As she talked, I twisted off my engagement ring and handed it back to him.
What are you doing?
You should find someone better than me.
I love you, Beverly, and I'll wait for you. Nothing can change that.
Thank you for your love, John. At the hospital, all my old feelings of insecurity, abandonment, and fear plagued me. But once again, the sweet presence of Jesus reassured and comforted me. John came to see me often, and I told him about some new things that were happening in my heart.
So you wrote a poem?
Uh-huh. About Jesus, how he changed my life.
I'd like to read it, Beverly.
The doctor saw me writing and asked to read it. When he finished, he had tears in his eyes and asked to borrow it.
Maybe they'll let you go soon.
Oh, I hope so. He said I had issues from not having a normal family, but I was coping well.
As soon as you're released, we'll get married.
You know, one of the attendants laughed at me when I told her we were getting married.
She laughed?
She said no man would marry me because I was in this place.
Well, she's wrong.
I was in the hospital 3 months, and we were married 2 months after my release. Shirley was the only real mama I've known. I gave John the chance to back out if he wanted, but he didn't. His love reminded me of Jesus' love, and I told John he would always be second to Jesus. That didn't bother him. A year later, my godly grandmother died, but we will spend eternity together with the Lord. We've made many trips to Georgia to tell my family about this wonderful salvation given to us by Jesus Christ. 3 years later came a miracle.
They said you could never have children, but God knew better.
Oh, isn't he precious, John? Oh, what'll we name him?
Well, after me, of course.
Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful baby. I don't deserve all this happiness.
None of us deserve it, honey. We love him because he first loved us.
2 years later, our daughter was born. By then, my sister Barbara was dead, so we gave our daughter her middle name. My father suffered several strokes that left him paralyzed. In 1994, he professed faith in Christ and stopped drinking. At last, we had a father-daughter relationship that I never dreamed was possible. I shared with him the things that I endured all those years.
Beverly, I wish I'd known all that. I should have protected you.
My brother was an abusive person, Daddy. That's why he's in prison. He abused others, too.
Well, if I'd have been the kind of daddy that I should have been, it wouldn't have happened.
It's all sin, Daddy. The Bible says we're all sinners.
I'm sorry for the way I treated you, Beverly. You deserve better.
Jesus made up for everything, Daddy, and then some. My daddy died in 1996. My brother died in 2002 after serving 25 years in prison. Each wrong choice you make has a price tag on it. But God can heal any one of the scars in their lives. 5 years ago, God healed me of my cerebral palsy. I can hear, my legs are straight, and I have no pain. John and I have been married for 35 years. I didn't have the courage to tell my story until now because of the shame. But God brought a wonderful pastor into my life who encouraged me to share for the glory of God. With God, all things are possible.
For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Are you without strength to face another day, listening friend? Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 promise, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." You can receive his gift of grace now by praying with us. Heavenly Father, I admit that I am a sinner. I know that I deserve your righteous judgment of eternal hell. I repent of my sins against you. I believe Jesus died for my sins on the cross and rose from the dead, ready to save me now. Please save me, Lord. Come into my heart and my life and change me. Help me to live for you. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for giving me eternal life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let us know you prayed. We'll send you some encouraging literature. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-492-9410. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Visit our website to learn more about this ministry, unshackled.org. This is program number 3125. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. We'd love to know you look forward to hearing these testimonies, so please write soon. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-492-9410. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-492-9410.